Welcome to Changelog and Friends, a weekly talk show about sesquipedalians. Big thanks to our partners at Fly.io. Over 3 million apps have launched on Fly. You can too, in less than 5 minutes. Learn how at Fly.io. Okay, let's play.
Okay, friends, here are the top 10 launches from Supabase's launch week, number 12. Read all the details about this launch at supabase.com/launchweek. Okay, here we go. Number 10, Snaplet is now open source. The company Snaplet is shutting down, but their source code is open. They're releasing three tools under the MIT license for copying data, seeding databases, and taking database snapshots. Number 9, you can use pgreplicate to copy data, full table copies, and CDC from Postgres to any other data system. Today it supports BigQuery, DuckDB, and MotherDuck with more syncs to be added in the future. Number 8, Vec2PG, a new CLI utility for migrating data for vector databases to Supabase or any Postgres instance with PG Vector. You can use it today with Pinecone and Qdrant. More will be added in the future. Number 7, the official Supabase extension for VS Code and GitHub Copilot is here. And it's here to make your development with Supabase and VS Code even more delightful. Number 6, official Python support is here. As Supabase has grown, the AI and ML community have just blown up Supabase, and many of these folks are Pythonistas. So Python support expands. Number 5, they released Logdrain so you can export logs generated by your Supabase products to external destinations like Datadog or custom endpoints. Number 4, authorization for real-time broadcast and presence is now public beta. You can now convert a real-time channel into an authorized channel using RLS policies in two steps. Number 3, bring your own Auth0, Cognito, or Firebase. This is actually a few different announcements, support for third-party auth providers, phone-based multi-factor authentication, that's SMS and WhatsApp, and new auth hooks for SMS and email. Number 2, build Postgres wrappers with WASM. They released support for WASM WebAssembly foreign data wrapper. With this feature, anyone can create an FDW and share it with the Supabase community. You can build Postgres interfaces to anything on the internet. And number 1, Postgres.new. Yes, Postgres.new is an in-browser Postgres with an AI interface. With Postgres.new, you can instantly spin up an unlimited number of Postgres databases that run directly in your browser and soon deploy them to S3. Okay, one more thing. There is now an entire book written about Supabase. David Lorenz spent a year working on this book, and it's awesome. Level up your Supabase skills and support David and purchase the book. Links are in the show notes. Whew. That's it. Supabase launch week number 12 was massive. So much to cover. Hope you enjoyed it. Go to supabase.com/launchweek to get all the details on this launch, or go to supabase.com/changelogpod for 1 month of Supabase Pro for free. That's supabase.com/changelogpod.
We can listen to Changelog and Friends with Adam and Jared, people you know. Changelog and Friends, it's your favorite ever show.
Hello, and welcome back to Pound Define, also known as Hash Define in less sophisticated areas, or Octothorpe Define if you're into obscure made-up words, which we certainly are. And this game is all about obscure words and what they mean, also what they don't mean, as our intrepid contestants will be rewarded for lying like skilled politicians. I'm Jared Santo, your host on this ridiculous ride, and playing this round, it's our returning champion, Thomas Eckert. Welcome back, Thomas.
Happy to be back, and in the graces of some more legends and maybe a future legend and Carol.
Speaking of Carol, she will be playing the role of the noob, aka the doctor. Ooh. It's Carol Lee, PhD. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Are you excited? Or are you scared?
You know what? We'll see. I'm just taking it how it goes. You know, I know Taylor's like a chaos machine, so I'm just prepared for chaos. And that's all I'm ready for.
Chaos machine.
Taylor is a chaos machine. He's also a winning machine. He's previously won this game as well. So we have a few champions here. Of course, you're referring to Taylor Trosh. What's up, man?
What up?
How are you feeling? Are you feeling ambitious or mischievous or both?
I'm definitely feeling mischievous. I want to.
Okay.
I don't want to win. I just want everyone to lose, you know?
Okay. He just wants to see the world burn. One of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of burning, that doesn't even make sense. It's Matt Ryer. Hey, Matt.
Hello. Thank you. Good link. Good to be here.
Good to have you. How are you feeling today?
Good old Matt Fire. It does work, actually, if you do it like that.
Nice.
I saved you.
Thank you.
I'm not feeling great, I'll be honest. I'm jet lagged. I've been in San Francisco recently. And then when you come back, nothing makes sense. Like, I know what time it is on the clock, but it doesn't feel right. You know, you sort of have a feeling of the time. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel, can't feel the date.
It's a convenient excuse. I like it.
Yeah. Matt's already getting his excuses lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to definitely lose. No, but I will take it seriously. I'm going to try and win. I played against Thomas last time, and I don't know, this wasn't made clear at the beginning, but he seems like he might be educated. And I think that's... You know.
Which was we found was an unfair advantage.
Educated people are the worst.
It's true. Carol's actually the most educated. Although, Taylor, do you have a PhD?
Really, I'm not a very competitive person. I'm just kind of in it to like have fun. So I feel like Taylor's the one you have to watch out for.
I'll tell you have to watch out for. It's the man who hasn't made a noise yet because he's over there strategizing. It's... Mm-hmm. Adam Stachowiak. What's up, Adam?
You know, I am, I'm just thrilled to be here on this very awesome game show. It is an incredible opportunity, and I'm feeling both excited, and I'm just being honest, just a little bit nervous today.
Right.
I can't wait to see what happens today.
Now, Adam, if you were to get an honorary PhD based on the things you know how to do, what would your PhD be in?
Oh, great question. I would have to say a PhD in BS.
Well, that should play to your strengths in this game,
and
shouldn't
by
it?
BS, I mean brain science.
Oh, okay.
That was cute.
That was some good BS right there. Well, let me briefly describe the game, and then we will get right into it. This is the game of fake definitions. We have 10 rounds of play, or 15 points scored will win if you can get that done prior to 10 rounds. Good on you. The way it works is I will present a word and the five of you will submit to me fake definitions of that word. Unless you happen to know exactly what it means, you can submit to me the correct definition and I will award you with 3 points immediately. If not, fake definitions are submitted. I gather them, I read them aloud in randomized orders, and then we go around the circle and see who can guess the correct definition. If you get it right at that point, you get 2 points. If somebody else picks your fake definition, you get 1 point per person, unless it's yourself. And we have a lot of fun along the way. Any questions before we hop into round one? The one bit of context here is the default style of word is STEM. So science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We also include science fiction and fantasy, just to broaden it slightly. But there are also non-STEM rounds where any word will work. And I will let you guys know what those are as we go. But first round is a normal round. And your word for round one is Cavorite. Cavorite. That's Cavorite. Please submit to me your definitions now. There are no bonus points for submitting first. But Adam will probably submit last. I have Carol's, I have Thomas's, Matt's, and Taylor's.
Now, Matt, what brought you to San Francisco?
Well, I have friends there, and don't be so surprised by that, Thomas.
No, I'm not surprised.
It's a surprise, I know. It's so weird. Friends.
That was a bit.
Say more. Weird.
So I went to see them. That's nice, thanks. Mm-hmm. But I went in a Waymo also, the self-driving taxi. Genuinely.
Across the ocean?
Didn't need, no, well. It was surprisingly good.
Well, where were your expectations that made it surprisingly good?
Expectations probably were high because of Knight Rider and other sci-fi. I sort of already expect we should have this. So I'm a bit annoyed that all cars need to have a person in them, making them do it. So this was just doing it on its own, though. It was like a ghost was driving, except I don't believe in ghosts. So a spirit.
So you don't believe in ghosts, but you do believe in spirits?
Well, anyway, it was driving itself up the steep hills. It was like a roller coaster at times, up the steep hills in San Francisco and down them. And you just think, hopefully it knows to stop. You know, you imagine some of the code in there. If hills go slow on it and stop when bottom. You know, I don't know what language that is, but something like that. That's pseudocode. Imagine, though, it just drives around. You don't have to talk to anyone. I think it's the future. I wish all cars were like this now already.
I want to take this time to coin a phrase. I think we should be calling self-driving cars, we should be calling them autos.
Oh, yeah. That was just better. Yeah.
What about just automobile?
Boy, it's already a word. I mean, it's literally true.
I know, but like, it's fell out of fashion. People don't say auto anymore. Like, if somebody's like, "Excuse me, sir, would you like to get in my vehicle?" I'd be like, "No, thanks." Or
just don't call them auto magical, and I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what our definitions were for round one. Our word was cavorite. Now, a quick disclaimer: as your humble host, it's difficult to read some of these definitions without laughing. My laughter does not indicate a fake definition. Every once in a while, I will laugh at the real definition in order to confound you. So,
question. Do you find the dictionary funny?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm really curious about your fake laugh at the real definition.
So. Oh, you won't know when it hits.
Can't wait.
We'll see.
It's something that a cavorite would do.
I have a PhD in BS, so you will not know. All right, let's read our fake definitions and our real definition to the best of our ability. I will now maximize this so I can't see your faces. Cavorite, a type of equestrian gait between a trot and a gallop, named for its cavorting nature. That's number one. Number two, a proprietary fixative used in dental practices to fix cavities. It was marketed with the slogan Cavorite keeps your smile bright. That's a nice slogan. Number three, a style of hat made popular in the 1950s by Bridget Biscuit and the Boomtown Band. Number four, somebody who stays out late at night. Number five, when used in a sentence, it is often included with the word cave. This is due to the...
Sorry, what?
Who's laughing?
Together? Close?
Yeah. This is due to nature of the root word, cav or atus, which means to be in a cave.
That's useful, though, to have a word that is, it means both cave or in a cave.
Yeah.
Or atus.
Yeah.
Right. That means to be in a cave that is virtually impossible of collapsing. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's the differentiator. It's a cave that cannot collapse. Or number six, a fictional material that has the ability to negate the force of gravity.
Hmm.
Those are six definitions for the word cavorite, some better than others. Let's see what you all think. We'll start with Carol. Which do you think is the correct definition?
I think it's the last one.
The last one, the fictional material that has the ability to negate the force of gravity. Okay. We go now to Thomas.
I was also leaning there, but I got to be careful to not trigger the pylon song.
Yeah, it's pretty early for a pylon.
Yeah.
Round one pylon. You can't do that.
Yeah. It could be people who are out late at night. Cavorite. What was the equestrian one? Is a type of gait that the
A horse... It's between a trot and a gallop, named G-A-I-T. For its cavorting nature. Yes, yeah. G-A-I-T.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was literally a big fence for holding in horses.
And for the listeners, cavorite is spelled favorite with a C. It's a really dumb word. I'm already against it.
I'm already against it. All right. Thank you for that context.
Why wouldn't it be caverite then? Caverite, not cavorite.
It's not Taylor's caverite.
It's not my caverite word.
Your favorite caverite?
Thomas?
I'm going to say it's a person who stays out late at night.
Okay.
That's number two?
That's number four. Number two was the fixative used in dental practices. All right, we go now to Matt. Which do you think is the correct definition?
I was swung by, I was interested in the same answers. the same options as Thomas. Okay.
So 4 and 6.
But then I learned that gates meant way to walk.
Mm-hmm. And that changed everything for you.
Yeah, that made me think it's even more that sounds even more like something. But there's also something, yeah, I don't know. I think I am going to go with the last one. Wait, it won't be a pylon, as we know, but I'm going to go with the fictional thing.
Matt goes with the fictional thing.
Carl's got a PhD, so.
Now let's go to Taylor.
You don't have to get a PhD if you just copy what someone else with a PhD does. Mm-hmm. It's the same
as
PhD's
heaven. In psychology, for the record, so.
I gave everyone a master's degree last time.
That's true.
So.
That's true. I forgot to use mine, actually.
Unfortunately, I defenestrated mine.
You defenestrated yours? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't like it. Taylor, which are you going to go with?
Bridgerton Boom Boom.
That's number 3, the style of hat made popular by Bridgerton Boom Boom.
Bridgerton Boom Boom.
I believe it was the Boom Band, actually.
Adam, it's your turn to guess, sir.
Can I hear number 5 again, please?
Do I have to?
Yes.
I just want to know what it says.
Oh. When used in a sentence, it is often included with the word cave.
Sorry.
It's included with it. I've never heard that.
What do you say?
Spit my water like out. Say,
cave, Kevorite, cave. Do you want me to read the rest of that?
Also, why do you need the word cave if that means that as well?
Well, it's a cave impossible of collapsing. Yeah. So it's a Kevorite cave. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whole definition, please.
You want to go with that one?
No.
I want to hear that. He wants to hear the whole definition.
Oh, you want to hear the whole thing?
Yeah. Yes, please.
This is due to the nature of the root word, cav or atus, which means to be in a cave that is virtually impossible of collapsing.
Let's go with that one.
Okay.
It's a very good fake if that's not real, isn't it?
Adam picks that it's one.
Excellent.
Well, let's start right there. Adam thinks Kevorite means...
Read the definition.
When used in a sentence, it's often used with the word cave. I don't know. He wrote it himself. That's your own one. So you both made me read it, and then you selected it, and you get 0 points.
It's just
points.
Too good. It's just too good.
I don't understand the logic to that.
You should have pride in your work. He tricked himself. We'll give that to him. Yeah.
it was just one of those things.
Yeah. Okay.
It was, wasn't it?
That one's for the show.
Thomas thought maybe Kevorite meant somebody who stays out at night. Taylor wrote that one, so 1 point for
nice
Taylor.
One, Taylor. Mm.
And Taylor thought it was the Bridgerton hat, but that one was Matt's, so 1 point for Matt.
Boomtown Band.
Boomtown Band.
That was a good one.
Classic.
That was a very good one.
How do you pronounce that word? Bridget Biscowet?
I don't know. I just put in loads of letters and left it for you to worry about.
You're making my job harder over here.
Yep.
And then almost a pylon, but not quite. Carol and Matt both went with a fictional material that has the ability to negate the force of gravity that is Kevorite, first depicted by H.G. Wells in his 1901 scientific romance, The First Men in the Moon. So Carol and Matt both scored 2 points there, giving Matt 3 for the round. Carol 2, Taylor 1, Adam and Thomas with 0. I also scored 0. I did not mention that caveat. If nobody picks the correct definition, I score 3 points for the round, which I'm at a 0. And so after round 1, Matt in first with 3, Carol with 2, Taylor with 1. We move now to round 2. This is a non-STEM round, so broaden your horizons. And your word for round 2 is gallimaufry. That's spelled G-A-L-L-I-M-A-U-F-R-Y. Gallimaufry.
F-R-Y?
F-R-Y.
Not P-H-R-E-Y?
Correct.
Oh, dude, no, I have no idea of that. Oh, right. If it was P-H, would you have an idea?
That F really rocked your world, Taylor.
Yeah, dude.
All right, well, please submit your fake definitions now.
I wish those letters were all different letters. Then I'd have an idea what this word meant.
Not to make everyone self-conscious, but I really enjoy, I know I said this earlier, but I like everyone's thinking faces and like what you look like when you're thinking. And Taylor always looks so concerned.
He does.
He sweet.
He furls his brow.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm like, it's going to be okay, Taylor. You got it.
Yeah, I get in trouble at home. My wife's like, we're going to have to pay for Botox if you keep on doing that. Because I just do it all day. I'm just like,
resting feral face.
Yeah. But it has like a tinge of sadness to it, strangely.
It does.
Yeah. Like it, you don't look angry. Like Matt kind of looks angry.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I would say like maybe downtrodden.
Yeah. That's how you look. Whereas Taylor, you kind of look like, livid. I don't know, writing sad things in your diary. You know, sad and deep things.
Maybe he's just really upset with his definitions.
Yeah, that is true. I'm very, very upset with the stat. Oh, actually, I've got a good one now.
Now, Carol, what is your PhD in?
Clinical psychology.
Okay, so that's why you're looking at everyone's face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's what I do. I just look at people's faces. No. Mm-hmm.
Don't we have to accept cookies or something before you're allowed to do that? Surely.
Pretty good.
It's like special skills. It's like I used to think that on Star Trek. There's a character called Deanna Troi, and she would read the emotions and stuff and just tell everyone. And she's like, you can't, what are you doing? You can't do that. That's really, really invasive.
Really invasive, yeah.
Yeah, but weird. Just
could
as a
read,
kid, I was
could she actually read minds? Or it was
no, just like feelings and that.
She would just say, like, if he's lying or if he's mad or whatever.
She'd be like, Captain, he's going to blow our faces off. And you're like, Deanna, that's his personal. I'd be like, if I was Captain Picard, I'd be like, Deanna, don't invade his personal thoughts. You know
That's a really good point.
So, yeah. But that's it. I run a different kind of ship to Captain Picard, I guess.
What kind of a ship do you run?
It'd have good morals, but I don't think it would be around for long. You know.
Unprecedented. Adam has submitted prior to somebody else.
Wow. Congrats, mate.
Unless, Taylor, did you submit yours? I didn't see it.
No, I'm doing it.
Okay. Because you said you were disappointed.
You gotta watch his face. He's still...
Yeah, he's still, he still looks concerned. He's obviously thinking. Come on.
Now he's going to be self-conscious because we're all staring at his face.
I know. I'm sorry, Taylor. I'm sorry.
Dude, no, it's the meta game.
He's playing the meta game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meta game is the best game.
Yeah. Thomas just kind of looks chronically cheerful. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's very sweet.
Oh, okay. I don't apologize for looking cheerful.
Yeah,
looking
it's a good cheerful. Thing. You're so Thank happy you. About your thinking.
I like thinking.
Thomas looks low res to me.
Thomas,
you feeling all right? You look low res.
I feel a little low res today. I got not a great sleep, and I feel maybe I'm getting sick, but I'm in the denial phase. So.
Yeah, it's the different phases of being sick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the denial phase until suddenly I'm not. You know, I'm like, it's allergies. It's
not. All right, here comes Taylor's.
Your leg's off. It's allergies.
Oh, boy. Okay. We now have all of our definitions. For round two, this is a non-STEM word. Gallimaufry. Hard to say. Easy to define for Carol. She actually knew the definition of this one. So she sits this round out. She scores 3 points right off the bat. Really moving herself into the lead. So you guys are playing catch up with Dr. Noob over there. Who should we read first? Let's read this one first. Gallimaufry, the back section of a Roman cathedral where communion is prepared.
Where what is prepared?
Communion.
Oh, it's not that one then.
I heard comedian. I was really confused.
No, they used to do stand up before mass. It's like before we get to the eating the cracker and having the thing. Yeah, here's our Roman stand up.
Number two, a dish made from a mixture of leftover food, especially meat and veggies. Number three, a concern, pensive, downtrodden, forlorn face that is bound to need Botox injections, which some people are very, very self-conscious of. Carol, you meanie.
I think that was the real definition.
That was definitely the real definition. Yeah.
I'm good. That's why Carol knew it.
Yeah.
Number four, an originally Shakespearean character whose only purpose is to make another character trip or fall. And number five, a roofing material derived from aluminium.
Did you say roofie or roofing?
A roofing material derived from aluminium.
A roofie.
There are your five definitions. Yeah, roofie material would be something entirely different. We will start with Thomas. You only have five to pick from, so it should be easier.
Yeah, you know, I'm leaning towards the Shakespearean fall character. That seems like something that would show up in Shakespeare.
Okay.
And yeah, it sounds like one of those funny English words from England where they make up all kinds of things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
Don't remember any of them.
Okay. I can reread some.
If you just give me a one word.
Yeah, one word summary of each. Yeah. All right. That's a good challenge.
If you were ChatGPT, what would you do?
Number one was communion.
Oh, yeah.
Number two was leftover. Number three would be forlorn.
Forlorn face.
Number four would be Shakespearean.
Yep.
And number five would be aluminium.
Oh, I'm curious that you're saying aluminium, and that's hard for me to hear in an American accent. So I'll probably go for that one for that reason. And I think that's sound logic there at play.
All right, fair enough.
I've got a BS in logic.
Matt picks aluminium.
Yeah.
We move now to Taylor, who has a concerned, pensive, downtrodden, forlorn face as he just tries to select.
Gallimaufry face, yeah.
It's quite Gallimaufric, some might say.
Mm. Ooh. Mm. That's with the leather.
It's a family podcast.
Yeah.
Give me Shakespeare, bruh.
Shakespeare it is.
Shakespeare, bruh.
We're starting one more. We're one away from a pylon here on Shakespeare. And then we go to Adam.
Can I hear two different definitions again, please? Number two, and I think number four.
Number two is a dish made from a mixture of leftover food, especially meat and vegetables. Number four was an originally Shakespearean character whose only purpose is to make another character trip or fall. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pile on. Anti-pile on.
No pile on. Adam goes for the leftovers.
He's got anti-pile cream.
Mm-hmm.
He's got anti-pile cream on himself.
I've been lubing up with it.
Okay.
Family podcast. So
when I jump on the pile, I slip right off.
Yeah. No, I like this because there's two people on this podcast that have said worse things than I've said. And I think that makes
that's
me
a rare
feel
occasion.
Really safe.
Yeah. You feel safe. We usually edit you pretty harshly.
Pretty good. Yeah, you need that in jet lag. You sort of need a cuddle, don't you? You need more of a cuddle, someone to go, you know what I mean, put their arms around you and just be like, don't worry, you're just jet lag.
Only if they're moisturized.
Yeah.
Well, moving on. Let's start right where Adam left off, not with the moisturizer, but with a dish made from a mixture of leftover food, especially meat and vegetables. That's also known as a hodgepodge or a hash or a ragout or a gallimaufry. That is correct, Adam.
I thought that was a bluff because of the fry at the end, A-F-R-Y.
Mm, like French fries?
No, fry, like you fry food or like, you know.
Stir fry.
Yeah, like a stir fry. Fry. Yeah, a gallimaufry fry.
Oh, like you fried the gallimaufry. Gotcha. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
So Adam scores 2 points. Good job, dude. Got the correct answer there.
Wow.
Matt was tricked by aluminium and Adam wrote aluminium. Did I read it correctly for you?
Adam.
For me?
Did you spell it like that on purpose? Or did you luck into it? Because that is the British English.
That's how I know how to spell it, okay? Because of Johnny Ive.
Correct.
I only know how to spell aluminum because of Johnny Ive.
Okay, so you've been influenced by Johnny Ive. Makes sense. Well, it tricked Matt into picking it. So now you've got three points for the round.
But I forgive him immediately because of the aluminium correctness. Adam, you're always welcome in our country.
Thank you.
And there was a mini pylon onto Shakespeare, this character who makes another character trip or fall. And that was Shakespearean Matt being Shakespearean himself.
Oh, you cheeky bastard.
2 points for Matt.
Should have noticed the beard. Little Shakespearean beard.
It is very, you kind of, you have a Shakespeare thing going on.
You do have a Shakespeare thing going on.
It's kind of Dog-tanyan style.
Like Dan-tan?
Dan-tan.
Coming this summer.
Dan-tan. Carol has no idea what we're talking about.
Dan-tan.
Sorry, Dan-tan's a callback joke. That's a...
I'm curious, question for Carol. How did you know this word? How did you come across this word in your life?
I really like random books about set in random Victorian times, and sometimes weird shit comes up, and then you gotta look up the word.
Sounds like a PhD thing, dude.
It is not a PhD thing.
Books.
Books. So gross. Mm-hmm.
We didn't know that you read.
She did admit when she was on the show that she doesn't read many books.
I don't read a lot of psychology books.
Psychology books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She reads a lot of mishmash jumbles, you know, or gallimaufries.
Yeah, I like it. I identified it as a mishmash jumble of things.
I'm all romance novels, me.
I can see that.
You write romance novels?
No.
Is that do you use a pen name?
Yeah.
He stars in them.
Matt Fryer?
Star in them. It's just me in the book. Another great day for old Matt Fire. Tyler, I like the way you said,
Tyler.
Like you were like, sorry, was it Taylor? Taylor, sorry, what did I say?
You've given him a forlorn look on his face.
I know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you meanie.
We have to be careful what you say to you. You're like looking after a Tamagotchi now at this point.
Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi Taylor.
Tamagotchi Taylor.
Yeah, you've got to like, give him some food. No, but I was going to say earlier, you were like, "What? How did you say it when you chose the Shakespeare one? You sounded like a kind of cool high skid.
Shakespeare
high
school bra. Yeah,
Shakespeare bra.
Yeah. Just sound cool. Like, yeah, like you don't, you know, you're at the end of your rope at school, you're about to get kicked out, and a kindly teacher just somehow gets through to you. And it's a touching story.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
And then he becomes like a Shakespearean scholar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go, and that's it.
Romeo and Julian, right? Like that. I love that book.
Oh, yeah, you've modernized it.
Mm-hmm.
Modern, nah, dude. I read it in the original Latin.
Take that, Matt. Well, Taylor has to do stuff like that as he's in the rear here. 1 point so far through two rounds.
Wow.
He's only beating Thomas and myself, who are literally...
Yeah, I think I'm in the rear.
In the cellar. Well, you know, there's the caboose, then there's the rear. I don't know. These things are close together. In the middle is Adam with three, probably feeling pretty good about his three-point round. And Matt and Carol tied with five after two rounds. We move now to round three.
Hey friends, I'm here with Brandon Fu, co-founder and CEO of Paragon. Paragon lets B2B SaaS companies ship native integrations to production in days with more than 130 pre-built connectors or configure own custom integrations. So Brandon, talk to me about the friction developers feel with integrations, SSO, dealing with rate limits, retries, auth, all the things.
Yeah, so there's a lot here, and I think there's a lot of aspects to the different problems that you have to solve in the integration story, in building these integrations and also providing them in a user-friendly way for your customers to self-serve and onboard and consume those integrations. So part of what the Paragon SDK provides is that embedded user experience, again, what we call our Connect portal. That's going to provide the authentication for your users to connect their accounts. That's going to be the initial onboarding. But in addition to that, your users may also want to configure different options or settings for their integrations. A common example that we see for Salesforce or for CRM integrations in general is that your users may want to select some type of custom object mapping. Every CRM can be configured differently, so your users might want to map objects to some different type of record in their Salesforce or different fields in their Salesforce. And typically, that's what developers would have to build on their own, is this UI for your users to configure these different settings for every single integration. That's also going to be what's provided by the Paragon SDK, is not just that initial onboarding and authentication experience, but also the configuration end user UX for different settings like custom field mapping, selecting which types of features on your integration that your user might want to configure. And that's also going to be provided fully out of the box by the Paragon SDK.
Okay, cool. That's the front of the house. That's the UI layer that developers are getting solved. What about the back end? The rate limiting, the retries, etc.
With integrations, different APIs might have different rate limits. They might have different policies that you have to conform with. And your developers typically have to learn these different nuances for every API and write code individually to conform to those different nuances. With Paragon, because we build and maintain the connector with each of the integrations that we support in our catalog, we're automatically going to handle for things like retries, things like rate limits. For example, Paragon knows the rate limit for each provider and will automatically throttle your requests so that you can conform to the rate limit for those providers and be able to intelligently retry requests in the event that you exceed the rate limit or a request fails. And so we look at this as sort of the backend or infrastructure layer of the integration problem that we have spent the last 5 years essentially building and optimizing the Paragon infrastructure to act as the integration infrastructure for your application.
Okay, Paragon is built for product management, it's built for engineering, it's built for everybody. Ship hundreds of native integrations into your SaaS application in days, or build your own custom connector with any API. Learn more at useparagon.com/changelog. Again, useparagon.com/changelog. That's useparagon.com/changelog.
And your word for round three is bunyip. Bunyip. That's B-U-N-Y-I-P.
No.
We're back yes. to STEM. This is STEM.
Is it?
Correct. This is a regular round. Carol Lee is already typing, so she might know this one.
One of the random books.
Sorry, guys. I don't want to scare you, but she's already submitting pretty fast for a fake definition.
Maybe I just think of fake things really quickly. Or I like to draft a lot and then choose the right
one. Oh, so you like pre-write a bunch of definitions and then select. That's a strategy. There you go. Oh, no. Not in the group DM, Taylor.
No!
That was a fake one.
Oh, okay.
That was just for you guys.
Taylor's now hiding, so we don't look at his face while he thinks.
Oh, that's how you know he's in ultra forlorn mode.
Yeah.
It's like playing poker, isn't it?
It's like when your Tamagotchi's at the brink of death.
But look how happy Thomas looks when he's thinking. He's got like a little smile on his face. It's so cute. I can't handle it.
About stuff, just walking around.
Yeah, Thomas is like, I wonder what this is.
Look at Taylor. I think he's having a seizure.
It's precious.
She's convulsing down there. Oh, man. Now I'm just imagining each of you as different Tamagotchi characters. It's very odd. Thomas is just really easy to take care of.
I didn't know there were Tamagotchi characters. I thought it was just like the little thing. Yeah, isn't it just like a little blob?
It's a little pet. It's a little digital pet, right?
Do they look different? I just thought they were all blob.
Were they all the same thing?
I'm going to look it up.
I know that they had different personalities, right? Like certain ones would need to eat more. Other ones would sleep more.
Oh, they do have different.
Yeah, I felt like the people had.
New?
I didn't know there was new Tamagotchis. I just figured it was a 1990s thing.
Someone told me that Tamagotchi is back. I don't know if that's true. But I'm pretty sure
that would
back.
Make sense. Mm-hmm. Everything comes back eventually.
I feel like it could just be like an app now. But
yeah.
The fact that it's like its own separate thing is kind of cool. Retro.
It'd be cool if you could have yourself as a little Tamagotchi to look after, though. You know, so like I could have a little gerund, and I've got to like feed him,
not
clean up,
not yourself, but other people. So you want
that's yourself, isn't it, Gerund?
You want Gerund to have a Gerund, or you want yourself to have a Gerund? I mean, both
I
are
want
creepy.
A Gerund.
He wants to have a little Gerund as his pet.
No, Gerund having himself would be sad.
Yeah.
Me having a little Gerund to look after, I think, is
also sad.
Yeah. Sad for whom?
That's especially brutal coming from an actual doctor in this stuff.
I'm sorry.
To be told you're sad. Yeah. It somehow hits harder.
I'm not gonna lie, the Tamagotchi characters are not that cute.
Well, they were just like little pixels, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I have a prescription to do something cool? Gotta get cool.
Could adopt a little Gerund.
Just wear shades. Just wear shades
at
work.
Oh, sorry. It's not that you're not uncool, it's that you're sad. Those are different, Matt.
Oh,
but you're also uncool, sorry. Sorry, but
we'll deal with that one.
They come together.
Dude, shots fired.
I just found out my mom's been lying to me for a long time. She's been telling me that I'm cool, but she's been telling other people that I'm lame. This is a
really?
This is a crisis. Recent
like
crisis.
Who's she been telling this to?
She went on the news. She announced it. In front of the public.
Yeah.
They just have a section of the news called like
Mom Thoughts.
Who's lame, who's cool.
Diss on your kid.
Mom Thoughts. And now to our mom correspondent. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe she just had to set the record straight. I mean, did she ask you to watch that particular program? Has anybody else submitted definitions? I have Thomas's and Carol's is correct, so she's gonna score more points again. But
do you get more points for getting it right?
You get three instead of two, yeah.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, Taylor, my mom told me my middle name was Sarah, and then when I got married, my birth certificate just had the letter J, and I was like, who's Carol J. Lee? What? It was just the letter, and she was like,
just the letter.
They messed it up, never bothered fixing it. So my middle name is just a random letter.
Dude, that's so cool.
I know. It was very confusing when I was like, I don't even know if you're marrying the right person, Zach. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's like you're destined to write a book now.
It's like you've got Carol J. Lee.
Just to, not to one up you, but my mom named me Trailer Trash, dude.
Pardon?
Oh, that is a one upper if I ever seen one.
Dude, yeah, She had no clue.
Is that what she said on the news?
No. That was like when I was in like elementary school. It's like, hey, mom, why'd you be trailer trash? She's like, oh, I could see how people would see that. I was like,
She didn't see that coming, huh?
I didn't put those two together until just now.
I feel like I did, but also I feel like it might have been the first thing you ever said to me, Taylor, was that.
Was, hi, I'm trailer trash? Mm-hmm.
I think I was interviewing you for the show, and you just, mm-hmm. we were talking about your name or something. Maybe it was prior to the show starting. Hopefully it wasn't on the air. But you were like, yeah, it's like trailer trash. And I was like, okay. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it.
There you go.
Got to clear the air.
And I think you had the more of the look back then as well, didn't you? Do you still have the look?
Oh, yeah. I had the mullet.
Yeah.
You had the mullet with the rat tail. Yeah. You had the rat tail.
No mullet, but do you have a rat tail?
No rat tail right now. This weekend, I actually had a mustache goatee thing. I was trying to look like somebody that would tie somebody to train tracks. And I successfully did it. I did a song at a conference, and
all right, now I
wanted to look like a villainous creature.
I was explaining to someone how I knew you, and I was like, I met him at a conference. He had a hair tie. He had a fanny pack full of babies, and they were like, "What does this person look like?" And I pulled up your picture just from the internet. It was like you with the mullet and the glasses, and they were like, this person looks like they would have a fanny pack of babies. And I was like, yeah.
A fanny pack of babies? That doesn't seem like you could carry a lot of babies. Are they very small?
No, they're
very, very small little plastic babies, and you slip them in people's pockets when nobody's looking.
Oh. Adam, didn't you take one of those home on the finger?
I was really sad because I wanted to get my finger out.
Mm-hmm.
My finger hand.
The finger baby?
I have a mini finger hand and a mini finger hand.
Mm. There were gifts from Taylor.
Yes, and I will tell you where they're at. At least one of them I know where it's at. You want to know where it's at?
No. The local dump?
Questionable.
It's in the shower.
Wait a second.
That's what I thought we were going there.
And what?
The mini one, right?
No, the mini one is in the shower. The mini mini one is lost.
Does it help you scratch your back or something? I don't understand.
You know, my boys, they shower in our shower because it's just easier, you know? And so they take things in there, and somehow they get left in there, and that's one of them. There's like two monster trucks in there and
PS5.
The mini finger hand.
Yeah. Sounds like...
Switch. Who's left your Switch in here?
Kids.
All right, we have all definitions for round three. Carol, correct again. 3 points. We'll be sitting this round out. That's two rounds in a row. From the noob to the master, perhaps. We will see if this continues.
Sounds like
here we have five definitions of the word bunyip. Number one, a mythical creature from Australian mythology said to lurk in swamps and rivers. Number two, the evolved ancestor of a bunny, which is the affectionate and informal name of a rabbit. Number three, a rocky enclave of a brook. Number four, a misshapen egg or an egg that looks atypical. And number five, contractions of the cord diaphragm in hares, similar to hiccups in humans.
Bunyip.
So there's five definitions of the word bunyip. Lots of rabbit connections there. Mm-hmm. And many of them. We will start with Matt. Bunyip.
Bunyip. Well, I was trying to read Carol. I knew that Carol knew the answer.
Metagame.
Yeah. And got nothing. Couldn't tell you from any of them.
Okay.
That's what they train you to do. Clinical psychology.
Yeah, that's what they want me to think.
I was doing the same thing. She just looked like a stone-faced Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Nothing to read. The J stands for mystery.
Dude, you have the same middle name as Sarah J. Moss. Did you realize that?
I do now. What does the J stand for in Sarah J. Moss?
J, dude.
Just J.
The programming language.
Oh yeah, Matt, what are you thinking over there?
I'm gonna go for the mythological one, the mythological one. Hey, last time I did this being silly and they cut it out thinking I was deliberate, like accidentally I was going like mermelidibilidum, and the editor's like, oh, we'll cut that out because he's obviously made a little mistake. But it was hilarious.
Well, we can't tell when you're being real or not real with your mistakes. I mean,
well, me too.
Imagine you couldn't pronounce a word and then we left it in. Great. The embarrassment.
That's what you do anyway. I'm British.
True. Moving to Taylor. Which of these definitions do you think is bunyip?
I think it was the mythological one. Brook, river, river brook.
A rocky enclave of a brook.
That sounds, can't get anything from Stonewall Carol over there.
Yeah, Stoneface Carol.
What were the other ones? Give me the one word reviews.
All right, so number two was the evolved ancestor of a bunny. Number four was a misshapen egg. And number five was the contractions of the core diaphragm in hares. In bunnies, yes. In rabbits, a hare, like H-A-R-E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a hare doesn't have a diaphragm, H-A-I-R. Just closing that loop. What are you thinking, Taylor?
Clarifying.
I don't know much about her.
I am thinking, you know, my heart is telling me.
Tell us about your heart.
Eggs, dude. We got to go to
eggs. Eggs, dude. Eggs, dude. So far from Taylor, we have Shakespeare, bruh, and eggs, dude.
Yeah.
I'm liking these answers. All right. A misshapen egg. All right. Taylor is on eggs. Adam, where were you going to land?
I'm following Matt because he's got the second most points and he wrote the song pile on.
You think Taylor and Thomas are bad?
And I just feel like
these are our former champs and they're in the.
Thomas hasn't gone. You haven't gone yet, have you, Thomas?
No, he hasn't.
No, I haven't gone yet. No.
I thought that was the case.
Just in general, I said you're following the leaders.
Yeah, I'm following wisdom here. Wisdom. Aluminium wisdom. So whatever he chose, I don't even know which one he chose.
He chose the mythological creature. Australian myth.
Sounds Australian.
One more and it's a pile on. Well, there's only one more left. It's Thomas. Are you going to pile on?
It's a pile on.
Is it a pile on?
It's a pile on. I'm feeling it.
All right. Now, should we play the pile on jingle or should we have Matt write a new one real quick?
Write a new one.
How about we have the live version? Give us the live version. Yeah. We already got the
recording. Matt, how about a pile on jingle? Can you give us that?
Even better.
Did you bring your guitar?
I've got my guitar here. This one's real.
Pile on song part three.
That one's a Zoom background.
Maybe put a little bit of some hair in it.
Put some hair in it.
Bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give it a little bunny
Any
flavor.
Any other requests?
Eggs.
Make it fluffy. Yeah, with some eggs.
Can you do Australian accent? Because we have
Australian hops get bunny fluff.
If you can have a letter J in there.
Yeah, an Australian accent. Yeah, cool. Anything
we don't want to put too many constraints on you.
Oh, no, please. What constraints? Do it in an Australian accent. Make it about eggs and hair.
It's pretty straightforward.
A little hoppy tune, by the way. You know,
an Australian say hair.
We're about to find out, mate. You're saying hair, I'm saying eggs. I wish we were saying the same things again, but I don't know, mate, I guess it's not to be. Oh, wait a minute, you're changing your answer to be the same. We got a pie, I alone, mate. We got a pie, I alone, mate. We got a pie on, mate. We got a pile on, mate. We got a pile on, mate. And I've got a fanny pack of babies.
That was really good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Now, Matt, now that Oasis is getting back together, are you going to join them?
Yeah, we're trying to get the support act, but so far they've not replied.
Did you see his face?
He was very
excited about Oasis getting back together.
He was excited.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's a Wonderwall.
All right, let's go to our results of the pile-on. We had 3 out of 4 guessing the mythical creature from Australian mythology. Carol, is that right?
Yeah.
That's right. Carol knew that was a bunyip. It's said to lurk in swamps and rivers. And so Matt, Adam, and Thomas each score 2 points. Taylor voted for the misshapen egg, dude. And that egg was Matt's egg, dude. So Matt gets a bonus point for tricking Taylor into selecting his definition. That's 3 for Matt. That's 3 for Carol.
I hope that's okay.
Wait, it's not an egg?
No. I just made that up.
Shoot. Yeah.
Just made that up. Now, Carol couldn't remember what the monster looks like, so maybe it is an egg-shaped monster. I don't know.
That's true. My definition said Australian folk monster, but I don't know what it looks like, so it could look like an
egg.
And
I've never seen one myself, so.
Again, I have to ask, where have you encountered Bunyip.
There was a, I read a lot as a kid, also as a child.
All right.
And there was like a book of like folk monsters around the world.
Mm. Well, you just remembered it from your childhood.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a deep recall.
It's kind of like a fun one, you know? It's a fun name.
Bunyip. I thought it was a fun word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I selected it.
I mean, there's a reason why I don't remember what it looks like. I don't know.
We all need to read more. So
this is like Slumdog Millionaire. Where Harold's got these backstories for these.
But you're going to ask like a techie question and be like, I don't know.
Yeah. Or clinical psychology word comes up.
Well, we move now to round four. Of course, between Carol's correct answers and Matt tricking everybody, those two are tied still at first place with 8. So she's not running away with
It's a battle between good and evil.
It is.
So
yeah.
It's a battle between knowledge and misinformation played out
right
here. This is it. And I'm on the wrong side of history.
I think that means you're going to win. Damn.
I'm going to say, we always know which one wins in the end.
As a British man.
Oh, sad.
Let's move to round four. This round is called Give It a Goog. Give It a Goog.
Oh, gosh.
This is a abnormal round. Now, I went to google.com. Have you heard of it? Mm-hmm. And I opened it in an incognito window. And I began to type something. And I stopped. And Google dutifully recommended me some autocompletes. I took the top autocomplete and I wrote it down. Your job in this round, Give It a Goog, is to write your own top autocomplete for this phrase. And we will select which one we think is the real autocomplete. The phrase I typed in to google.com was, why don't we? Why don't we? And then I stopped. And I wrote down that top autocomplete. Now, do not go out to Google and try this for yourself. That would be
immoral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be on the dark side for sure. But go ahead and tell me what you think is the top autocomplete, and we can see which one's correct. I have maths.
Now I'm wondering if like my thinking face is adequately joyful. I think it was a little bit more demure there.
Don't think about it too much. I'm sure it's fine.
All right.
Still look low res to me. Have you had a Tylenol?
I need a Tylenol. I was going to take one before the show, but I...
Get one.
I'm in a neighbor's house. Oh, you might have missed it, but I'm in a neighbor's house because they're testing the fire alarms in my apartment today.
Oh.
They work.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
Well, they're just going around setting fires.
Yes.
They just set a little fire and see.
No, they got a guy who's smoking. He just walks around smoking all day.
Oh, he's cool. He looks cool, but...
He looks cool, but it's really not cool.
Is it not?
Not in the...
Yeah, set a good example.
Yeah, it's a family show. Smoking kills. Yeah.
Especially if it's you that's on fire that's making the smoke.
That's true. Yeah.
That can be really dangerous, so do be careful doing if you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I have Carol's goog.
Thomas, I think I can detect your submissions in this game now. Because of the way you write it. So I think Thomas has a tell now. So I'd like to play an additional game where I...
Does he look extra happy? What is the tell?
Yeah, what is the tell?
It's the tell. It's in the definition itself.
Mm. What's the... say more.
It just has a feeling. It just sounds like Thomas would say it.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe check.
It's a vibe, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's using that phrase, Jared. Say more.
I know, I use it a lot. Classic therapy technique. Looking at faces and saying, say more.
And how does identifying my tell make you feel?
It makes me feel pretty powerful, Thomas. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you sure she's on the good side or the evil side?
Gosh,
she's on her own
side.
We are
outnumbered here.
That was sinister. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have them all. Why don't we give it a goog? Oh, we did. And we are playing around as a result. Where we tried to autocomplete the phrase, why don't we? Here are 6 possible top autocompletes. Number 1, why don't we live on Mars? Number 2, why don't we drugs legal? Number 3, why don't we print more money? Number 4, why don't we eat turkey eggs? Number 5, why don't we destroy the moon once and for all? Sorry, number 6.
Wow.
Just the way I said that was yeah. Cool. Once and for all. Why don't we see dead people? That's number 6. So we have 6 potential autocompletes. Taylor, which one do you think's the real one?
Eggs.
How? You're very excited about eggs.
Something's up with him and eggs.
Yeah. Almost blew your mic out.
Bunyip, dude.
Picking eggs. All right. Taylor picks eggs.
Bunyip.
Emphatically. Adam picks.
I can't choose. Somebody trying to blow up the moon?
Once and for all.
Once and for all. That's the key piece here.
It's like we've tried. Yeah, it's like we've tried and it keeps coming back. And we're
of course we've tried.
Pesky moon, not again.
We've tried everything. Wolverine. At least once.
We're just tired of all the tides.
Well, actually, once and for all kind of implies that we did do it once, but it came back, you know?
Yeah, that's
it's like, well, we blew it up, but it wasn't once and for all. It was kind of like...
Michael Collins knew the truth.
Does that make any sense, though, once and for all? Because that would imply you didn't do it before. You've only done it once and for all.
No, we want to do it once and for all. We did it, but it wasn't once and for all.
It's twice then. He's got a point. I think. Yeah.
I really wish we could do this once and for all.
I think we should do it twice and for some.
We'd have to be like, let's do it one more time and for all or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Once more.
One last time and everybody can partake.
But people aren't known for being accurate when they're Google searching, so.
True.
Mm-hmm. Jared, would you be opposed to reading them all again?
These are quick. I can read them all. For you?
Yeah, please.
All right. Number one was, why don't we live on Mars? Number two, why don't we drugs legal? Number three, why don't we print more money? Number four, why don't we eat turkey eggs? Number five, why don't we destroy the moon once and for all? Number six, why don't we see dead people?
So many good choices here. Is that you, Thomas? Drugs legal?
No.
Is that subliminal messaging? I think he was subliminal.
No, I was
messaging.
Just looking at it. I was like, yeah,
Taylor's pretty excited about the eggs, though.
It's my vibe.
You were wrong with the eggs before.
He was way
you
off.
You might be good about eggs this time, Taylor.
No, I wasn't. I use that word every single day, and it's mm-hmm. it's correct usage, dude.
What, bunyip?
Yeah.
It's just a local usage of the word, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like an actual product from where he's from.
Every day? Use it in a sentence, then. Give it to me.
Oh, I cracked a bunyip.
Sounds like something nice. On your foot.
Okay, yeah. Fine. I won't follow you then. You make no sense. Let's go with money.
All right. Adam wants to go with money. Print mo' money. All right. Next up, Carol.
Money, dude.
I'm actually going to go with eggs because I am kind of wondering, why don't we eat turkey eggs? So
who says we don't?
I guess I don't. So why don't we commonly? Maybe more accurate would be like, why don't we commonly eat turkey eggs?
All right. Carol goes for eggs. We are one away from a pile.
We do eat turkey, though.
We do eat turkey, Adam. That is
haven't correct. They given us enough?
I feel like...
Never.
I feel like maybe turkeys are not like chickens. They don't do the whole, whatever the process is to produce an egg that is a yolk, maybe, not a turkey in there.
Ovulation?
Is that what happens? Oh, is it ovulation?
Are you trying to say that... Chickens don't lay eggs?
No, he's saying turkeys don't lay eggs.
I think, well...
Oh, okay, okay.
No, I think they do. I just wonder if, like, chickens...
I'm pretty sure turkeys lay eggs.
Chickens lay eggs that don't have chickens in them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And so we eat the ones that don't have chicken. They're just the yolk. It's a premenopause or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out a word that's
premenopause.
Like,
all right, you're done.
Chicken menstruation, correct?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's something like that, right? Evolution.
Yeah, premenopause chickens.
And so are you saying like turkeys are born like in menopause or?
I know, I'm thinking that maybe just turkeys don't do what chickens do.
All right, let's not answer the question.
Every egg is a winner. Okay.
Let's answer this question. Which goog is it? Somebody fact check Adam always answering because he just spat some real interesting science. It's Adam's turn still.
Oh, okay.
But I guess.
Oh no, you picked. I'm sorry. Well, you picked print more money.
Yeah.
My bad. You were just talking. It's actually your turn, Carol.
I already chose one. I chose turkey egg thing because I was mm-hmm. like.
Well, then what's mm-hmm. going on with me? It's Thomas.
I don't
Thomas
know. It's probably
turn.
Thomas or Matt's turn.
It's Thomas.
It is my turn. Live on Mars. Was it live on Mars? What was the phrasing there?
Yeah. Live on Mars.
Why don't we live on Mars?
Right.
I just feel like people would be Googling that. Why don't we live on Mars yet? Drugs legal, kind of the mess up of the, I don't know, print more money. I mean, I feel like people do ask that all the time, every day.
Print money or drugs legal?
Drugs legal and print money, that'd be great. Just, you know, they go well together.
They do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to ask, why don't we live on Mars? Why don't we live on Mars? It's there. It's not that far. Let's get over there.
The moon's closer.
I'm pretty sure they don't have oxygen.
But we want to get rid of the moon once and for all.
We got to get rid of it. Well, so, that's because you know. It's in the way. Once you get rid of the moon, it's a straight shot to Mars.
I think David Bowie, didn't he He lived some life on Mars, didn't he? Matt, it's your turn. What are you thinking?
Okay. Right. Hang on a minute. So you did it in incognito mode.
Correct.
And this is so that your previous search history didn't influence it. But
it's not influenced by my personal interests.
But they do it on IP still. So what sort of... Tell me about the area you live in. Where do you live, Jared? What street?
Lots of anti-moon sentiment in this area.
Oh, yeah.
People do a lot of drugs and then print money and then go to the moon and blow it up, then live on Mars and eat their turkey eggs, obviously.
I mean,
it's a plan.
The moon might be the one place that's more barren than Nebraska, so...
Ooh.
Ouch, dude. Come on, we got fertile cropland here. Nebraska. It's called the Fertile Plain for a reason, Thomas.
Fertile, They can grow whatever the hell they want. Taylor's the one who'll starve in, like, Palm Springs. Jeez.
More drugs. Drugs legal.
I don't know if it would make that mistake. Why would it say, why would it not be correct English? I don't understand why the autocomplete would
That's fine English. It's just American English.
And it's also a Nebraska thing.
It's Nebraska, American English.
I like the why don't we see dead people? But it is, the obvious answer is they're terrible on dates.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going for print more money. I think most people would just be like, even if you like, if you understand economics and the way, and the tools that they have at that level, you do talk about printing money. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're an absolute idiot, and I'm not saying you've got a lot of idiots in Nebraska, I don't know. But imagine there's an idiot walking down the street. Just thinks money's just printed and like they've got like a printer. Why don't you just do more of it? And then everyone's got more money.
Well, take that one.
That's my submission.
All right. Print more money. Yeah. Good one. Good one. We'll go with that one. My particular answer to that is, aren't they already doing that? Aren't we printing more money? Seems like we are printing more money.
You can't be reply guys to Google autocomplete.
I'm replying to your thought process. Go ahead, Taylor.
Dude. There's only so much paper.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Hitting the
what we need is more
paper
trees.
Production.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Trees.
Yeah.
That's why they're cutting down the trees, guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Save the Rainforest people, we have to ignore them because we have to cut down more trees if we want to print
for
money.
That's why they have so much money.
Yeah, we've resorted to selling our printers that print the money. We actually make more money that way now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's find out our results here. Print more money. We'll start right there because that's where everybody wants to be. Adam and Matt, printing more money. Why don't we? Well, Thomas, why don't we print more money? You were wondering that when you wrote that, weren't you? Mm-hmm. That's Thomas's.
Yep.
2 points to Thomas. Thomas said, why don't we live on Mars? He wants to know. The people demand an answer. And that was Matt's question as well. So 1 point for Matt.
Trade you. Touche.
Meanwhile, nobody picked destroy the moon once and for all, much to Taylor's chagrin. Mm-hmm. And nobody picked see dead people, much to Adam's chagrin. Nobody picked why don't we drugs legal because Carol typed it wrong or something.
I feel like people can't type right on Google, okay?
Oh, is that
I
on
was
purpose?
Just speaking to the people.
Okay.
Come on.
I wasn't sure if that was a typo or not. I was going to help you correct it, but...
No, that was very good.
That leaves us with the one real question that demands an answer. Why don't we eat turkey eggs?
Is the answer because of Matt or Adam's strange... conspiracy theory about turkey fertility?
I don't know. Adam, did you look it up while you were sitting there?
Postmenopausal.
I just hypothesized that they fertilize less, but turns out they just lay less.
Lay less eggs.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I used menopause. I couldn't think of the word fertilization. I'm sorry, everybody.
Is that why we don't eat hummingbird eggs?
Well, I think they'd be more like caviar, wouldn't it? I mean, they're tiny.
Yeah, but what if they lay like a ton of them? You know, this could be an untapped natural resource.
Well, they're a lot harder to catch than chickens.
You just have a fist of them after the gym.
I guess turkey eggs are kind of expensive. It's like $3 an egg.
How much are hummingbird eggs?
I don't know. Why don't you look it up?
Why don't you Google it?
Dude.
Yeah.
It's probably like rice where you just get it by the pound, the bush.
So Carol gets it right. 2 points for Carol. And like Taylor gets it right. 2 points for Taylor. Now, there were a few other contenders, I thought it would be fun to read. Not number one. Of course, number one was why don't we eat turkey eggs? Number two, why don't we go back to the moon? So opposite of destroying it. Number three, why don't we fly over Antarctica? Good question. Number four, why don't we eat roosters? Maybe this is Nebraska.
Never going to get asked that in the UK. You never even heard of a rooster.
Number five, why don't we talk about Bruno? Good question.
Good point.
Why don't we talk about Bruno?
That's probably universal.
Number six, why don't we eat carnivores? I feel
that's
like
it. Serve them right.
It's not even true. It's not even true.
Yeah, but no one's going to search in the UK. Why don't we eat turkey eggs? No one would search that, I promise.
Because you guys don't have turkeys?
Yeah, we don't really eat much turkey.
Here. Right.
True, yeah.
Only at Christmas.
I've heard that there's a difference of eggs in the UK versus the US, and like you can just eat raw eggs in the UK and you can't in the US. I'm not sure. I heard that.
Is that true, Matt?
You don't eat raw eggs?
Oh, salmonella. We've been told that you have salmonella poison.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that?
Do you guys have that over there too?
It's suspicious. We've been told about the salmonella.
But I've seen Rocky and he drinks a bunch of eggs and he's fine.
Yeah, people do it, don't they, in the gym. I don't know if it's hummingbird. Did they just do that? Drink hummingbird juice.
I think hummingbird eggs are too small, Taylor. There's not enough in there.
There was a sparrow that has really soft feathers on its chin. And there was some old emperor somewhere had a whole bed made from these softest possible sparrow chin feathers. And I really want one of them now. I learned about it.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, we're only through four rounds.
Yeah.
And
I want to own a very cold sparrow.
Cold sparrow.
Carol's in striking distance. I'm not even engaging in the conversation. We are only through four rounds and we're talking about hummingbird eggs and cold sparrows. We should move on to round five. After four rounds, Carol, almost in striking distance of a win here with 10 mm-hmm. points. Matt in second with 9. Adam in third with 5. Thomas fourth with 4. And Taylor with 3. Now, you guys have been using the spread quite well. And I have 0 points because every round you have landed somebody at least on the answer.
Okay, we're here in the breaks. I'm here with Firas Bukadije, founder and CEO of Socket.dev. Socket is a developer-first security platform that protects your code from both vulnerable and malicious dependencies. Firas, the status quo of security tools for developers seems to be broken. It seems to be just riddled with tools that may not actually help developers to be more secure and to shift left. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree that current security tools are super broken. There's really two ways that they're broken. The first, they send too many alerts. The second, they send not enough alerts. What I mean by that is they send too many alerts. They send false positives. They inflate the severity. They say that it's a critical security issue when it's actually a low security issue. They tell you about vulnerabilities and developer dependencies that are never going to run in production. So there's all these reasons why they're just wasting your time with this noise. And on the other hand, they're not alerting you about things that actually matter. So if you look at like the news and you look at kind of the attacks that are affecting companies and that are affecting developers today, there are things like malicious dependencies, typo squat attacks, hijacked dependencies, risky dependencies that have like hidden behavior in them that will open up pop-ups to random sites or steal certain data from your system. Things that you do see in the news quite frequently, right? And we see them literally, we see 100 attacks per week at Socket that we're detecting right now that are in NPM, PyPI, Maven, and the Go ecosystems, which are the four we support today. The current tools, they send you too many alerts, all this low important stuff, but then they don't even alert you about all the attacks that actually matter. And so that's what we're doing at Socket. We're sending you the right alerts, the alerts that actually matter. So you get, when you are alerted, you actually believe it and you take it seriously because it's real, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And that's what I think we're doing really well. That's why we have over 6,000 organizations that have added Socket into their GitHub. It's a 2-click installation. It's literally super easy. You go to the GitHub marketplace, you search Socket, you click install, and you click all repos, boom, your entire company is protected. And it doesn't block developers. It doesn't prevent you from shipping code. Initially, it's all just kind of in a warn mode. So it's really easy to get started. No source code access. We don't read your source. We just need a list of dependencies that you're using. So it's a really light and easy installation. Very, very developer friendly tool.
Okay, they've made it too easy to install the GitHub app. Go to socket.dev. There's a button right there on the homepage, install GitHub app, or if you want to go deeper and see behind the scenes and get questions answered, you can book a demo. But the first step is to go to socket.dev, learn about Socket for GitHub, Socket CLI, and the Socket dependency search. Find any packet for your project and see its security concerns or lack thereof. Once again, socket.dev, that's socket.dev.
Round 5 is one of our newer style rounds. This is called Namespace Conflict. In this round, I have gone out to the hub of Gits, and I have found a repository. I will tell you the name of that GitHub repository, and you will write the tagline slash description. You know, whatever people would put in that tagline field on GitHub to describe their repository. And we'll see who can trick everybody into thinking theirs is the real repo tagline. Sound good?
Sounds very good, actually. I would say out of all the rounds, this one sounds the best.
Thank you. I work very hard on these for your pleasure. The repo that you will describe or tag is called Firecrawl. 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 All one word. Firecrawl. Please write a tagline and submit it to me now.
Did you read about Firecrawl repo when you were a kid, Carol?
It was actually in this children's book.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
That's how they make the babies really tough, is that, you know, you teach them to crawl over the fire.
They're not that tough if they end up in a fanny pack.
That's small. So small versus tough. Those are different words.
Just to be clear, they weren't actual babies that I had.
Oh, really? Oh, right. What, like plastic or something?
Yeah, they're plastic.
Oh.
You buy them in bulk.
Okay. Where do you get those?
Bulk, he said. That's where you buy them.
Babies.com?
No, bookstore. I get it from the bookstore.
The bookstore?
Yeah, Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Do they do books now? Does Amazon sell books now?
I don't know. Ask Carol.
She reads books.
I go to the bookstore and I get books. Taylor gets babies. It's fine, okay?
Yeah. Hey, guys, I got any babies?
To be clear, they're not real babies.
Yeah, right.
Not real babies.
Let's not keep acting like they are.
Most of us already knew that, Jared. That they weren't already babies. They weren't real babies. Plastic. Imagine if that makes it into the podcast.
Oh, we're going to cut a lot of this one.
Taylor, have you ever tried to use the plastic babies as currency? Like get a cup of coffee? Be like, how many babies do I owe you?
The hardest part about this show is the running jokes. When they run out of a cuttable segment, we can't cut the segment anymore. So yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like this part might suck, but we brought up dead babies.
Yeah. Well, no one said dead babies, Jared.
Jared.
Someone did say dead babies.
No.
Whoa, dude.
There was not real babies and there was plastic babies, Jared.
Somebody said dead babies.
Oh my God.
I believe it was Matt.
In my imagination, they were only suffering.
I now have all five submissions. Let's play a game of namespace conflict. There is a repo on GitHub called Firecrawl. Here are six potential taglines for Firecrawl. Number one, crawling through firewalls since 2001. Number two, a full text search capabilities for build for Firebase. Number three, the missing search solution for Firebase. Number four, turn entire websites into LLM ready markdown or structured data. Scrape, crawl, and extract with a single API. Number five, Firefox extension for crawling URLs. And number six, monitoring for Firebase websites.
Gosh.
There you have six potential taglines. We'll start with Carol.
I'm going to go with the LLM one. It's like a really long one, you know?
We move to Matt.
I'm going to go for a crawling URLs extension in Firefox. Please. And I'll lock that in now. I'd like to lock in that answer. Do we lock-in answers? Do we have to lock-in answers or are we good?
Matt is locked in on the Firefox extension.
There have been changes before, so locking in is actually appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I change it though after if I've locked in?
No, you've locked in. Move on.
Jared here in the editing room. At this moment, Taylor's power cut out and he dropped offline. Thankfully, he scrambled and got reconnected using his phone, so we just skipped him and went on to Thomas. Taylor does make it back before the end of the round, but he missed some guesses, which explains why he just blindly picks the second one. Okay, hope that helps. Okay, we move to Thomas.
Yes. I believe that this is a monitoring solution for Firebase. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I haven't locked it in yet. Why would you need to monitor Firebase if it's run by Google?
Because maybe they stopped running it?
They might just stop running it. It's just a check to see whether or not they're still running it.
I mean, if you really trust them. Mm-hmm. Like, is it down?
Yeah, or is it
just me.com?
I'll stick with it. I'll stick with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monitoring for Firebase websites goes to Thomas. We can go to Adam.
It's not the Vim but better one.
Vim but better?
Vim but better.
It was the number one Vim but better.
No.
No. That was my other option, I guess.
Firewalls.
You were going to write that maybe.
I was going to write
Firewalls was number one.
Mm-hmm. Firewalls.
Getting through firewalls. Firewalls.
What did Carol say? I'm wherever Carol went, I'm going. Where I'm following you, Carol.
She went with the LLM.
I went the long one. With the long one.
Why do you like that one?
Because I was like, we're not going to write like three sentences, but I bet the real person wrote three sentences.
Mm.
You know, it was just like a long. Logic. Yeah, just seemed like it's a good long logic. Thing to write.
Yeah, it's not Vim, but better. I'm going to go with Carol.
Okay, Adam goes with Carol. We might need a new song that is not about piling on; it's about piggybacking. Taylor, it's your turn. What are you thinking for fire crawl?
The second one.
Good choice.
He's going to go with Vim, but better.
Number two, full text search capabilities build for Firebase. Taylor goes with that one. All right. So we can start with the Firefox extension. Matt thought maybe it was a Firefox extension for crawling URLs. That was Adam's tagline. One point for Adam.
That's good. Nice one, Adam.
Thomas wanted monitoring for Firebase websites, even though he knew there'd be no reason to have it if you have Google monitoring it. But he picked it anyways, and that was Taylor. So 1 point for Taylor. And Taylor went for full text search for Firebase. That one was Matt's. 1 point for Matt.
Sorry.
Matt, you and I feel guilty. Had pretty similar submissions.
Yeah.
I think we think more alike than you feel comfortable
admitting and won't ever, never.
He knows it's you because he senses a piece of himself, maybe.
Senses a piece, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carol said it, so it's got to be true.
Yeah.
She has a PhD.
Meanwhile, Carol went for the long one, the LLM one, and Adam piggybacked, which is not exactly a pylon. It's more of a piggyback, which might need a song of its own. But they're correct. So
yes!
That is the actual definition or the tagline for Firecrawl. It turns your entire website into LLM-ready markdown or structured data.
It's so freaking long. Mm.
Carol gets two. Adam gets two plus the one he already got. So he gets three for the round. Adam's in it to win it.
Oof. How close am I to winning?
After round five.
12 points.
You have 8. Matt has 10. Carol has 12. She's within striking distance. We're only halfway through the rounds. Meanwhile, Thomas and Taylor tied in last with 4.
Ooh.
Can I tell you guys about a cocktail I used to make?
What kind was it?
Do we get a pick? Or
it's 2 shots of Fireball and LaCroix. Pamplemousse LaCroix.
Did you call it a fire crawl?
You should.
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. Good name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Taylor's pining for bonus points, but he's not going to get a bonus point for that. We move now to round 6. This is non-STEM, and it's also a bit nonsense. This word is a tough one. Round 6, your word is Cuomo Dockenkise.
Oh, gosh.
Cuomo Dockenkise. That's one way to pronounce it. There are a few other pronunciations, but I won't try them.
You gotta spell that one in the chat.
This word is spelled Cuomo Dockenkise. Cuomo Dockenkise. We'll find out if it's in an old book Carol read when she was a kid. Right after this.
It's a children's book, actually.
We got a real stumper here. Everybody's faces look forlorn.
Yeah, the joy is gone from my thinking face. I'm still a pretty easygoing guy. But
Thomas, it's okay. You don't need to defend that. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's not a performance. It is who
because
I
he's
am.
Tied for last.
Yeah, it is because I'm tied for last. I used to be a champion.
He used to be a contender.
I could have been a contender.
There's a new doctor in town. She's gone beyond a master's, and she's gone all the way to doctor.
That would be a good title for this one. The doctor is in. You know?
Yeah, she has one up to me, because I only have the master's. She has the
That's true.
The doctorate.
That's kind of why we invited her. Mm. You're sick of your pomp and circumstance.
What are you going to do next? What's beyond doctor? Two doctors?
President.
President?
Yeah, you're probably going to get the
president of God.
President-elect.
Jeez, man.
Cuomo Dockenkise. Now, that might be not how you say it. I don't know. It was really hard to get consensus on pronunciation.
Yeah, because no one needs this word. I don't, well, we'll find out what it means.
Well, you need it right now in order to win this game.
I do need it now, to be fair. I've used it quite a lot so far today, actually. Now you mention it.
Be careful. We'll make you sing a song about it. None of us want that to happen.
I can't even pronounce it.
Carol is within striking distance. She only needs 3 points to win. I have Taylor's and Carol's and Thomas's.
Did Carol get it right?
I haven't read hers yet.
If I did, it was by accident. Somehow.
Accidentally used my master's degree today. Got an interruption. Just by accident, I was right again.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even get it wrong.
You try to get it wrong.
Try, but sometimes you just squirrel docking ties.
Pulled a Carol today. Got it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Carol J. Always right.
The J stands for right.
The J stands for right.
That was kind of like a Trump sounding laugh. I felt like I was channeling somebody there.
Oh.
Carol J.
It was, yeah. Carol J. Always right.
Always right, Carol J. People are saying.
Everyone knows.
I wouldn't call her right.
All right, we have 6 definitions for Cuomo Dokkenkais. And they're all over the board, which makes sense because you can't make much sense of this word.
If anybody got this right.
Not even Carol.
Number 1, a political theory of history wherein technology leads to changes in the status quo. Number 2, to make money by any means possible. Number 3, the moon's last defense against humanity.
That one.
Number 4, the process of changing the features at rest of a movable object. Number 5, when thrust reaches its maximum output, producing the greatest possible force to propel the vehicle. And number 6, the process of documenting organizational procedures, quotas, and financial records for legal purposes. There you have 6 potential definitions for Cuomo Dokkenkais. We start with Carol.
Can you repeat the first 3?
First 3? That was a lot of work, you know. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's tough. It's a long word. Yeah. It's a long, you know, a lot of definitions. Come
it is. There's a lot. This is a lot. And there's a lot on the line here. I mean, you're trying to win this game right now. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like people really got wordy here. All right. Go.
All right. Number 1 was the political theory of history wherein technology leads to changes in the status quo. Number 2 was to make money by any means possible. And number 3 was the moon's last defense against humanity.
Mm-hmm. Taylor wants me to choose 3, so I'm just going to skip that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear the other 3?
I do.
All right, number 4, the process of changing the features at rest of a movable object. Number 5, when thrust reaches its maximum output, producing the greatest possible force to propel the vehicle. And number 6, the process of documenting organizational procedures, quotas, and financial records for legal purposes. Cuomo Dokkenkais.
Saying the word again doesn't help.
I know. That's all I can do.
I'm debating between 2 and 5.
What's your thought process looking like?
I honestly don't know. I can't even remember what 2 was and what 5 was.
Well, 2 is the make money one and 5 was the thrust one.
I feel like it's not. I'm going to go with 2. I don't know.
Carol,
I don't like
votes.
That. Oh, I don't know. Okay, we'll just go with it. It's fine.
Are you locking it in?
I know it's not 1. It can't be 1. Okay, it's 2. I'm going to say 2. We'll lock it in.
She's locking it in 2.
Sorry, F it. Mm-hmm. Or bleep it. Go.
She's saying bleep it, and she's going with 2. Okay, we move now to Thomas.
Okay. I feel like it's not a STEM thing, so... I actually think it's the documenting.
Thank you for that validation.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think it's documenting the process of an organization. That sounds right to me.
All right. That's number 6. Locked it in. We go to Matt.
Now, Matt, can you tell which one was mine? Because you said you could by vibes alone.
Mm. Well, I won't reveal it now.
Yeah.
But yes.
You think you know?
Yes.
You think you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a tough one. Some of them are STEM, and he did say it wasn't a STEM one.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's more like not STEM.
I don't think I buy that. I think that legal one is. I was thinking of coming up with some lie like that. So that's probably the one I think is. Did you just go for that one, Thomas?
Yes, I did.
He did.
Oh.
And he locked it in, so you can't convince him otherwise.
No, it's locked
in. Well, he wouldn't want to if he doesn't think it's the right answer.
The moon one's obviously absolutely ridiculous. That person should probably be ashamed of themselves.
Or extremely proud.
Well, I think, that, yeah, all that.
I think we're leaning more towards the pride side of that.
I think this person's really proud.
Can I just pass? I don't know. Can you pass?
You can't get any points.
Yeah. I mean, if you, yeah, you just don't get any points.
Oh, you, I might as well pick one.
I prefer you just
pick
one.
Yeah, you might as well just pick one.
Come on, man. Play the game.
You have nothing to lose.
I'll go for the money one then. I'll go for the money
one. The money one?
All right.
Yeah. Random.
Always go for the money, I guess, if you don't have anything else to do. Okay, Taylor.
Moving thing. The moving vehicle.
Moving the movable object.
Moving object, yeah.
Yeah.
Process of changing the features at rest of a movable object. Or the possible force to propel the vehicle. It's the movie.
No, that one's fake, dude. Sounds fake.
I feel like those two are Thomas and Matt.
Now we go to Adam. Last one, Adam.
My choice is not my choice. My choice is Carol's choice.
Oh, you're just a piggybacker.
Yeah.
You guys are going to feel really sad when I got it wrong.
Well, it's, you know, there's only two non-STEM ones there, right? And it was not STEM, so.
But there's three non-STEM ones.
If I have to choose a route of limited abilities and choices, I'm going to go with the one that has 12 points.
That Carol picked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think piggybacking is a good way to finish second or third, you know, but it's never a good way to beat somebody.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to just be where you are plus their points.
That's right.
Anyways.
At least I'm coming up.
It's a strat. It's just not a good one. Okay. But it was a good one this round because that is absolutely the right definition. It is to make money by any means possible.
Oh, I fluked it too.
I knew it wasn't the sixth one because that was mine.
Yeah,
that was
really good.
That's why I was like, well, I know it's not that one, so
yeah,
I don't know.
why have we not heard that word before? That seems like a word that
Cuomo Dacinkais. Now, this is a Latin word from the 1600s. It's absolutely dead. No one uses it anymore.
No.
But that's what it used to mean.
It's because you're mispronouncing it.
Well, that's entirely possible.
How do you pronounce it?
Well, back in those days, money was called keys or quees. And it's actually Cuomo Donkin Quees.
Oh, that changes everything.
It's to acquire all the quees. I just made that up. It sounded
pretty
good, though.
He totally made that up.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
I've already put that in the long-term memory.
Yeah, that's in there. Brain science BS.
You need to purge that.
Mm-hmm. And a garbage collector.
So that means that Adam scores 2, Matt scores 2, Carol scores 2, but then she also just confessed that hers was number 6, which Thomas selected, so she scores 3.
Gosh,
Carol. And Taylor picked Matt's, and that scores 3 because the movable object was Matt's. So both Matt and Carol score 3. So after 6 rounds of play, Matt has 13 points, which is right on the doorstep of our winner, Carol, who has 15 points from noob to master. Congratulations.
Moral of the story is remember the books you read as children, kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to go back to childhood and read
more. Or time travel back to childhood and read more.
Go to the store and buy books, not babies.
I'm going to buy loads of kid books just to catch up. I feel like I'm behind.
You can read them really fast.
Yeah, that's true. Although I struggle on some of the longer
ones. They're
pretty
easy to read, yeah.
Cuomo Dacinkais.
Like Cuomo Dacinkais.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations to our winner.
Yay!
And I think she got round 1 correct, round 2 pre-correct, round 3 pre-correct, round 4 correct, round 5 correct, round 6. She didn't miss a single one.
I'm beginning to think there's value to education here.
Logic.
You've utterly dominated.
Wait, how close am I to winning?
Taylor, you have 4 points.
So close.
I could still come back, right?
Yeah.
Well, if there's more game to play, perhaps.
Next time.
Next time, we'll just not invite Carol back so that other people have a chance. Oh, that's what I said about Thomas last time.
Yeah.
So.
And you said that about Taylor, too.
Yeah, that's what you said. But now we need to bring somebody in who could beat Carol. And
apparently there's like levels of skill at this. And we just found someone at a whole new level.
Wasn't I the one that invited Carol? Dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mistake.
What were you thinking?
She didn't seem smart when I was talking to her.
I know. It's all an act. Sorry.
I don't know. You proved it out here today. Now, we do have a couple more. Does anybody got ahead? We got a couple more rounds that I prepared. Maybe we can play them for the bonus people, or does anybody want
to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Bonus it out.
Yeah.
I don't go on call for another hour. So.
Okay.
Maybe an extended winter, maybe, you know? Is it possible to go beyond and beat Carol? Played a 20?
Sudden death?
Played a 20. Yeah. We're going to nullify her victory and see if anybody can beat her to 20.
Rude.
No, let's just wipe the slate clean. Carol won the game. Now we're all back at zero. And we will just play a few more rounds and see what happens.
Nice.
Because I put a lot of work into this round seven.
Is this for Changelog Plus people?
Yeah, take your clothes off.
Oh, gosh. It's the wrong kind of plug.
Dude, I was trying to help him plug, you know?
This
like,
is not right. Like, Changelog. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is Changelog Plus yes. Plus.
Should we plus plus this?
Oh, yeah. Milk him. Get the money.
Milk him.
Yeah. Plus plus it.
Okay. For you regular listeners, the show's over.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed.
Carol wins.
Pound to Fine. Carol wins.
Sucks.
Matt only sang one song, but we got to get him to sing some more during the plus plus portion. If you're not a plus plus member, well, let's fix that bug. You know, go to changelog.com/plus plus, sign up, make your own feed, no ads, Matt Ryer singing more songs.
Hello.
Taylor making a comeback and winning. Oh, I don't actually know what's going to happen, but it's going to be good. So there you go.
Taylor, you didn't have to take your shirt off. Put it back on.
Dude, I thought he said ads.
Ads. Abs. Abs.
I said no ads.
Abs.
Abs.
I was
abs.
Referring to your abs.
Oh, ab. I heard okay, abs. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Same thing for me because I'm ripped. I sell ad space on my abs. So
that's
get in touch if you want.
Six little abs.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Six little ads.
It's kind of like the $1 million website, you know, like there's little each yeah. pixel. Yeah. Each one of your little abs could be a dollar.
I loved that when I was a kid.
You buy an
Six
ab.
Bucks.
Buy one of Matt Ryer's abs.
Yep. I don't know. You can just sponsor it. You're not buying it. You don't get it.
No.
Yeah. Well, sponsoring it. You're not getting it. You can't have it. I checked. We can't do that.
Mm. Well, if you're an organ donor.
I don't think they take abs. I don't think that's what the card means. It's like, this guy's ripped.
Abs.
Quick, let's get him.
Hey, I mean, some of us.
That would be amazing.
Some of us could use a little help, you know, get on the list.
Got an ab transplant. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
This guy's just died in a horrific accident, but he's got great abs and a good back. Quick, get his strong back.
Get his strong back.
Just a rich 90-year-old. He's got an amazing back now.
Okay, let's wrap this so we can start the next round.
Bye, friends.
Yes, goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that might be the weirdest pitch for Changelog Plus Plus ever, but this might be the best bonus for Changelog Plus Plus members ever. Taylor's brain breaks. We play 2.5 more rounds. Yes, that half round has an explanation. Matt sings two original songs about piggybacking. One of them is mysterious and pretty good. The other one gets super dark and creepy, if I'm being honest. And of course, we crown another winner. Can you guess who it might be?
Changelog Plus Plus. It's better.
Another way you can support our work is by leaving us awesome 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pocket Casts. Yes, Pocket Casts recently added a star ratings feature, so hook us up if you don't mind. And now through the month of September, if you write us a thoughtful review or blog post, screenshot it and send it to jared@changelog.com with your mailing address, I'll send a Changelog sticker pack straight to your door. Let's do this. One more thank you to our partners at Fly.io, to our sponsors of this episode, Supabase, Paragon, and Socket, to Breakmaster Cylinder, and to our friends at Sentry. Use code CHANGELOG, save $100, easy money. Next week on the Changelog, news on Monday, but probably Tuesday, because Labor Day, Alia Abbott from Zulip on Wednesday, and Emily Freeman plus Shipit host Justin Garrison right here on Changelog and Friends on Friday. Have a great weekend. Leave us a 5-star review if you want some stickers. And let's talk again real soon.
I'm going back. I'm climbing on your back. I'm gonna choose that. It's a piggyback. What's your ID? I'm gonna choose that too. What sandwich you having for lunch, baby? I don't know. I just wanna know. I'm not gonna copy it. What kind of...
plus. It's better.